White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 802.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins!
Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! And welcome to the old school opening to the AAU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, by Boris the Tiger, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AAU Wishbone family. Do you remember this, John? Our very own Patreon.com family. It's been so long.
It's been a while.
I'm Van Allen Flexico. I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we are back with a new episode of the AU Wishbone. We're joined tonight by our, he competes with Jared to be the third man, quote unquote, on the show. And they have quite a rivalry going. So while I wait to hear back from Jared as to whether there's a guess the game tonight or if he didn't send it or if I've lost it, probably I've lost it, but you never know. Sometimes he forgets, sometimes I forget. Meanwhile, our other third banana, Boris the Tiger, joins us tonight. So Boris is here. He brought his little Finn Weagle, and they're going to be hanging out with us a little bit. I don't know if he can contribute very much, but he's here. Boris did bring his sombrero because it is coming up on Cinco de Mayo, so I'm anticipating some good Mexican food the next few days. And John, I have determined, and I want to get your input on this before we do anything else. I have determined, as far as I'm concerned, the best food is Mexican food. Do you concur?
It's fair. I'll go with it. Sure. I mean, Italian food is wonderful.
Yes. In college, when you and I hung out together all the time, it was very close for me between the two, Mexican and Italian. But I've noted, and I had Italian tonight. I had some nice chicken parmesan, some fettuccine alfredo. It was great. But I have determined that as much as I like Italian food, Mexican food is the best food. It's just the best.
I'll roll with that.
Yeah. I just got a text from Jared. He dropped the ball, he says. Oh, he's got serious stuff. Not bad stuff, but he's got serious family stuff he's having to coordinate. So, God bless you, Jared. You deal with what you got to deal with. I won't go into your personal business on the air, but no. And again, it's not bad. He's just dealing with some business.
Sure.
So, go with God, and you do what you got to do when you got to do it, man. That's cool. So, meanwhile, Jared's best buddy in the whole world will be sitting in, and maybe he'll come up with a game for us to guess later. So. All right, thank you, B. All right, so before we do anything else...
It's a quest. It's a quest for fun. I'm going to have fun, and you're going to have fun. We're all going to have so much fun, we'll need plastic surgery to remove our smiles. You'll be whistling Symphony Doodah out of your...
It's the Auburn Fun Meter with the new opening that Jared sent a while back, and I kind of lost for a while, and now I've got it on the board. This is our weekly look at how much fun it is to be an Auburn fan this week, and I'm curious what you think this week, John, because there have been a few things here and there. There have been a couple of really good things that have happened. There have been some other things here and there, but where are you thinking? Where are you on a scale of 0 to 10 as far as your Auburn Fun Meter this week?
Again, it was a pretty high place last week. We had some positive stuff, you know. Good football transfer, big golf team win, a few other things. I'm going to say I'm like an 8.
Boris, where are you? 12. Well, we know you're going to be 12. You're Boris. I'm going to say a 7.
Fair.
I'm about 7.
It is tough to be, again, the broom commitment got me way up there. It's tough to be high.
Yeah.
It's probably 2. 8 is probably too high. I'm going to come down to you with 7.
Yeah.
In the offseason, even with this other stuff, it's tough to be too high.
No, I hear you. I hear you 100%. Well, since you mentioned the golf, let's talk about that first. Then we get into some football stuff. But the golf team, I mean, winning the SEC tournament means you get to go first. And the Auburn golf team, which is number one in the country, beat the number two team in the country. So they not only did they win the SEC tournament, they did it in the hardest way possible. They beat the second best team in the country in order to do it, Vanderbilt. And we had two freshmen that played, and they both went 3-0 in match play. That's pretty awesome and sounds good for the future, doesn't it?
It does. Strong yeah. team.
When your freshmen combine for 6-0, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It finished off a strong week as we were the top seed in match play after winning the stroke play portion of the tournament after 54 holes. We beat Alabama and Arkansas on Saturday, and it's always a good thing when you beat Alabama. Arkansas is a bonus.
Amen.
That's right. We then finished things off by taking the title by beating Vanderbilt. We have 8 tournament wins on the year. We now go to the NCAA Regionals on May 13th through 15th, followed, we hope, by the NCAA Championship May 24th through 29th in Carlsbad, California. The SEC one was, I think, at St. Simon's Island, which is in Georgia. The field for the NCAA Regional will be announced Wednesday, May 1st. So I guess the people that usually listen to this on Tuesday, it'll be the next day. On the Golf Channel, so 1 p.m., I assume, Central. Most Auburn stuff seems to come out native to Central on the Golf Channel. And then the so that's there. And then, of course, the big question, John, is who's going to win the AU Wishbone Invitational? That's the big question.
Well, it is a big question. I don't think we want any part of the Auburn golf team.
No. But hopefully you and I will play sooner than later, and yes. Then we'll find out.
Yeah.
Boris has been working on his short game. That's the only game he has is his short game. So he's been practicing up for that. He thinks he can take us. So, all right. So there's your golf. Any thoughts on the golf? I just kind of like laid the whole thing out.
I wasn't aware they were that good until the last week or so when things started happening. It was exciting. It was fun to see that happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that it was done in large part with freshmen is a really good sign for what's to come. So that's really cool. All right. In football, there was a weird thing with our defensive.
Go ahead. A minute. Do you know? I think there's a we can direct correlate something here.
Okay.
Why did the golf team have such a great season? Probably because you and I visited their home course when they were hosting a tournament in order to do some merchandise shopping.
We funded this SEC tournament champion team. We did.
We funded it, but also I think our presence gave some like positive karma to the team too.
Absolutely, yeah. You and me and Boris was nearby, and I bought a large amount. I funded at least 2 tournaments by myself because I bought Mira a shirt and I bought me a shirt, which I have worn recently. I haven't played golf in it yet. I wore it to work. But it's awesome. It's got all be swinging a golf club and all that. So I really, really, as the little polo man, you know, on it. So, Jared says, have you already started? I could have one done in about 15 minutes. I'm texting Jared live on the air.
As Van does that, it's, you know, we were talking about visiting the Auburn golf course when we were in Auburn, a couple months ago. For the basketball game and the book signing of it, we went out there to see the course dual shopping, and hosting a tournament at that time. So it was exciting to see all the other college teams on our course practicing. So
it was, and it was a really beautiful facility and everything. Yeah, so that was really cool. All right, so on to football. So what was the deal with the defensive backs? Because that was weird with the portal and everything.
So. On our team, 2 of our defensive backs entered the portal or talked about, announced they were going to the portal. Tyler
2
Scott.
DBs enter, 1 DB leave.
We haven't played the sound effect yet.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Hold on.
I got great news for you.
Wrong button. There we go. I need the Amok Time sound to go along with it. 2 DBs so, enter, 1 DB leave.
We didn't want any DBs to leave.
No.
Two defensive backs talked about entering the portal, Tyler Scott and Colton Hood. Tyler Scott then, you know, changed his mind and came and stayed on the team and did not enter the transfer portal. And Colton Hood did enter the portal, and he is signing with Colorado and going to play for Deion.
Mm-hmm.
Along with his brother. So, I mean, Colton Hood is the nephew of Roderick Hood.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, that sounded like a familiar. Although every time I see Colton Hood, I keep thinking Colton Herta. And I'm like, why is an IndyCar driver playing defensive back for us?
No, it's Roderick Hood's nephew. And he, again, both these guys, we wanted to keep them. We didn't want to lose them. They were four-star, recruits and good young defensive backs. But part of the challenge is we built up some talent and depth in that room, and these guys were not in a position to, you know, start. It wasn't going to happen. And they might, you know, they would have gotten some time as backups probably over the course of the year, but, you know, not even like the third cornerback probably. So that was, it's a challenge. It's the kind of thing like you want to have good quality depth and quality players who you can develop so they could be the starters, but it's tough. Not everybody wants to sit. So Colton Hood left. And additionally, Garner Langlow entered the portal. He's an offensive lineman who honestly had been kind of off the team doing his own thing. And then Jay Fair, we talked about last week, is a wide receiver that entered the portal. He announced he's going to Southern Cal. So,
how bad could he have been if he's going to Southern Cal? I mean, or are they just going to throw him out?
No, I mean, Jay Fair is a good player.
Okay.
Like, I think you know, of the players we have, he definitely would have played if he'd have stayed. Mm-hmm. I think he was the best, you know, receiver we had, you know, last year probably. I think I think he probably caught the most passes of anybody other than our tight end last year.
Right.
So, I mean.
Yeah, it was always him and Camden Brown were the ones that were talked about as having the potential to be good, but we didn't really have anybody be really good last year, to be honest.
He did. Jay Fair had 31 catches for 324 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Okay. All right. So who's coming? Hold on. So who's coming in through the portal now that's going to fill up some of these spaces?
Well, the biggest news of the week, the big news was that Keandre Lambert-Smith, a wide receiver from Penn State, entered the portal and then signed with Auburn. It was a starter, the leading receiver at Penn State, and that the most experienced, the leading receiver coming back in the entire Big Ten, left that team and transferred to Auburn. Now, there's more to this. We could talk about that, but this is a guy that played against Auburn in both the games. He had 6 catches for 43 yards over those 2 games against Auburn. And he had more catches and more yards than any receiver on our team did last year.
So immediately the Penn State media started talking him down.
Sure.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I mean, so here's the other side of the story, right? His usage at Penn State started to decline at the end of last year. At the last couple of games, his number of targets and catches went down. And a lot of people thought he was unhappy and he would enter the portal in December. But he didn't. And then he hung around through spring. But then I don't think he played in their spring game. Mm. And then he entered the portal kind of immediately after that.
Okay.
So, you know, not sure what's going on there. But this is a guy who, you know, is an experienced Big Ten receiver who's played in a lot of big matchups. He's not a guy who's just, you know, does stuff against the small teams or as a, you know, small school player. He's played at a Big Ten team for years, and he's played against, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa, whoever else in the Big Ten, and made plays against them. He had 8 catches against Iowa last year, and he had 6 catches against Ohio State. So
I like the sound of that.
He was definitely a guy who was out there in those games making plays and stuff.
Well, we can use another competent receiver that has some experience and can, you know, show the guys the ropes, you know, because again, we've got the youth coming in, but we need some people that are kind of ready to play now. That's what we've been working on.
I think that's what I like the best about this is it's a guy who could play now, but it's kind of a 1-year bridge player scenario where the young guys can still play, but all the pressure is on, right? This guy, Keandre Lambert-Smith and Robert Lewis, the guy we got from Georgia State who's looked pretty solid in the spring, those guys can go out there and make some plays. You know, everything doesn't have to be on Cam Coleman every time it's third down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I have a feeling it's going to be anyway, but yes.
Well, but I think these other guys are competent receivers. Keanu Lewis is a competent receiver who can catch, you know, 5-6 passes a game and make a few plays. And he's good after the catch with the ball in his hands. He can run a little bit. He's a bigger guy, so he can play on the outside too. And so I think, you know, you could see a situation pretty easily to me where we start a three receiver set and it's Robert Lewis in the slot and Cam Coleman out wide by himself and then Keandre Lambert Smith on the other side. And I think, you know, those guys could complement each other. And again, it takes pressure off the other young guys. They don't have to come in and carry the team and make every play. And also they have these other guys who have been through the wars, you know, of major conference football who can go out there and show them things.
Yeah. I like it. No, sounds good. Let's see. We've got I was on the wrong page. My bad. What else going on with
I wanted to just step back and then while we're doing this to talk about the commitments of the transfer portal commitments as a whole.
Yeah.
Because I think especially with the recent players we've gotten in the spring portal, but the other players in the we got in December, I seen some really good work. But especially, like, look over the last few weeks, we got those defensive linemen, we got this guy. But in the fall portal, you know, we got the offensive tackle from Mississippi State, we got Robert Lewis, we got the safety from Texas who can help out, and we got a linebacker transfer from Duke. So they were going after these veteran guys to plug holes from major conferences, right? Last year, we took a bunch of – in the past, we've taken a bunch of small school guys and let them move up and see what they could do. And this year, we took veteran guys from major conferences. We don't want to block the young players, so we've taken a bunch of kind of short-term older guys who could come in and show what they can do for a year, maybe make the NFL by having a good year in the SEC, but also just be a bridge to the younger players. And the other thing is I think they've been really intentional – where they think they have a problem, they're going to pour attention and resources in it. Last year, we saw the offensive line get completely changed. And this year, the wide receiver room is 100% different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they have really turned it over, and they've upgraded the talent where we have more players and better players than last year. And the one thing I wanted to point to this is we hired this guy, Will Redmond, away from LSU, who is the general manager of player personnel. And this was a big deal we talked about on this podcast. He's a guy that I think makes a difference. And I think he has made a big difference in these transfers. It matters. I think he's been a guy who's identified the right players to go after and helped this team execute a strategy to get those players where maybe in the past we couldn't do that. So I think that's a kind of behind the scenes guy that is doing a good job in this work to help make this happen.
The personnel we've been adding, like administrative or whatever lately, from Cohen the AD, just nothing but impressive to me. He just super impresses me. He seems like a guy that could be SEC commissioner is what I'm saying. Alan Green was a super smart guy, but I don't think that he was a good fit in terms of understanding an SEC program that is needing – you know, that was like willing to spend money and do what it takes to be competitive. He was more about how do I save money? How do I bring this thing in economically and all? That's not what you do in the SEC. You spend, and win, right? And so Cohen strikes me as the kind of guy that understands that. And now bringing in a guy that obviously was very successful at LSU at managing personnel and everything. I mean, clearly he knows what he's going to be doing. At least every impression so far is that. So I really feel like we've got people in place now to make us a competitive program at whatever sport we need to be. And that's not something we've been able to say. And I mean, that's from the president of the university down to the AD, down to the head coach, down to the player person. I mean, everything. I just couldn't be happier than what we've got going on right now, honestly. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. So we had the NFL draft, and not a lot of action for Auburn early on through the first four rounds. But then we actually got five players drafted, which I was pointing out is three more than got drafted off the national championship team in 2011 after 2010 season. So, I mean, late round picks, but Nehemiah Pritchett, Jalen Simpson, DJ James, Justin Rogers, Marcus Harris. You will notice those are all defensive players. Shocking. Yeah, that's choking John up.
It is shocking, but it's also like we've been in a pattern the last 5 years or so. We put out some good defensive backs, a lot of good young defensive backs in the NFL come through Auburn, and this continues that pattern. And I think it allows us to attract and get good talent there because players know they have a chance. But also, I think, you know, we finally have some players on the offensive side of the ball who might have NFL potential, right? I think we've had rosters in the past where there wasn't a lot of NFL potential on the offensive side of the ball, and now we do. I think we have some receivers who could get there. I think we have some linemen who could get there. I think we have some running backs potentially who could get there. So,
yeah, for sure. So, yeah, 5th, 6th, 7th, 7th, but cornerback, safety, cornerback, and then two defensive tackles. And then, of course, Bo Nix, 12th pick overall by the Broncos. He's back in orange and blue again. That's pretty cool. And I just got to say, I love how some Auburn fans were giving Alabama crap about this because, of course, the Alabama fans being Alabama fans, they're far more concerned with us than they are with their own business. So they were all saying, you can't claim Bo Nix. You can't claim Bo Nix. He's an Oregon guy. And they started – and so some Auburn people started, like, retweeting all the times the Alabama fans were claiming
Jalen Hurts.
And they're like, it's one or the other. Either you claim Jalen Hurts and we claim Bo Nix, or you stop claiming Jalen Hurts. And they're like, oh, well, checkmate. So that pretty much shut them up. There's some players you're happy to see go, and Bo Nix was not one of them, but who was the one you were happy to see go, John?
No, I mean, the player I'm most happy to see gone is Brock Bowers from Georgia, the tight end, who just killed us. We couldn't cover him if our life depended on it. And
amen.
I'm delighted to see that guy gone. There's plenty of other SEC players I'm happy to see gone. I mean, some of those LSU receivers and Jane Daniels, I'm fine. They're gone. Yeah. Terry and Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry or whatever. But Bowers was the guy that just absolutely tortured us. And I'm happy that he is never see him again against Auburn. So,
Lord willing, he will not come back and get another year of eligibility. He's not Chris Moore or Bo Nix, honestly, or any of those people that get unlimited college years, apparently. All right. Anything else football going on?
No, but the draft was good. I mean, as you said, not a lot of high picks, but five players picked is a good thing for Auburn football.
Yeah, absolutely. And players that we're more or less, you know, like three defensive backs, but like you said, we feel pretty good about our defensive back situation, especially since the one's coming back. So you hate losing two defensive tackles, but being able to say, hey, come play for us, we just put our two guys in the NFL, is not a bad thing.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, both to Texas, one to Houston, one to Dallas. So, all right. In basketball, speaking of Chris Moore is coming back for his 75th year of eligibility. That's pretty cool.
For a second PhD.
Yeah, that's. Oh, I don't have it on here anymore, but I would totally do the dum 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 dum. but yeah, so Chris Moore's back. So I mean, you know, and he's such an important piece, not just for, you know, his play on the court. He's a great locker room guy, leadership guy, kind of do it all guy, energy guy, defense guy, and
unselfish,
and more senior leadership coming back. I mean, again. In an age when some teams, Kentucky, have nothing but five-star freshmen that don't know the ball from a hole in the ground, you know, they're really talented, but they, you know what I'm saying? In an era when that's the case, this team is going to have so many veterans on it. I've talked about this the last 2 weeks, but I don't care. It's exciting. I mean, again, the last time we had this many veteran players on a team that had played together this long was 2019. What did that team achieve? I don't know. So I don't want to set the bar too high, but honestly, the bar needs to be set high for this team, especially if they can get just like one more key player. I feel like they need one more guy.
This team, in the preseason will be an SEC, regular conference favorite, and it should be viewed that way.
Yeah, I mean, they need to understand that we have a set of expectations for them. And we made what excuses needed to be made. That's fine. Last year, it was awful this past year, but
we got through it and they returned a bunch of talent, and they're going to go wreak some havoc this year. And I think that's fine. I'm all good with that. So I get the expectations piece. I think in terms of the rest of the roster, as you mentioned, we're still looking for potentially a backup point guard and one more forward to back up maybe the Chaney Johnson. So another, you know, depth piece at forward, I think, is on the list.
Well, tell me this, because this is something I'm really concerned about as far as the roster goes for the basketball team. By the way, Jared has come through. He has sent in Guess the Game, and I'm downloading it now. And that's he's the man. What? No, Boris, he's the man tonight. Jared's the man. He came through. But tell me this, though. This is what I'm curious about. We've got the freshman coming in that's a point guard but's going to play more shooting guard. We've got the transfer point guard coming in. I feel like we don't have any depth at that position. What do we have? There's no KD anymore. There's no Trey.
You want me to walk through the depth chart?
If you want. I'm confused how we went from three guards to two, and yet we feel like we're okay at guard. I don't understand.
You're forgetting people.
Okay.
So,
To be fair to me, the way that Bruce does the lineup, it's hard to say anybody is a certain position other than clearly Broom is the center. Clearly, you know, Aiden Holloway was the point guard. Other than that, they were all just kind of out there. So, really, you know.
No, it's fair. So, here's the depth chart right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, J.P. Pegues, our transfer point guard, is going to be the starting point guard.
I like it.
We're looking for a backup to him.
Okay, gotcha.
Denver Jones is going to be the returning shooting guard.
Ah, left off Denver.
He's back. He's going to remember he was a really good defensive player and a solid offensive player last year.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the starter shooting guard. Okay. Our five-star signee, Tahad Pettiford, is going to play behind him as the backup shooting guard. You know.
Okay. But can also play point guard.
Can play point guard, but we're looking for a veteran backup point guard, okay?
Okay.
Small forward is our guy, Chad Baker-Mazzara.
Woo!
Right?
CBM.
We have a signee, a big-time explosive athlete who could play small forward. This is the kind of guy who's won a bunch of high school dunk contests, okay?
Oh.
So that kind of athlete.
Who is this? I mean, is this somebody that we've recruited as a freshman, or is this a transfer?
Yes, this is a four-star signee.
Okay, I didn't realize we had more than one, high school player coming in.
Yeah, Ja'Kai Howard is the guy, isn't he?
Okay.
Right? So he's a four-star signee. He's 6'6", 190, you know, a small forward-type body, but super explosive, a guy that can drive to the basket and make stuff happen.
Oh, we need that.
So, yeah, exactly, right? And so he's going to play behind Chad Baker-Mazzara, but we also have Chris Moore, who could play either the three or the four, right?
Right, right.
Then we got Janai Dillon at center. And power forward, we got Chaney Johnson, who kind of came on at the end of last year, the second half of the season, and emerged.
The Wolf Man, Lon Chaney Johnson.
Guy behind him. But if we had to, we could go into the season with Chris Moore behind him and Howard behind, you know, Chad Baker-Mazzara. I think we'd like one more forward, a bigger forward, just in case.
27-man rotation is what I'm looking for.
I mean, again, maybe Howard's ready to play. Maybe he's not, right? If he's not, we could play Chris Moore behind Chad Baker-Mazzara and have another guy to back up. But I think Pegues at point guard is going to play. We're not going to do this split thing again. Pegues is going to play like 30 minutes, and the other guy's going to play like 10 minutes.
I tell you, it's nice having options.
Yeah. So, again, this is the thing you referenced, Kentucky and some of these other schools. Some other SEC school teams have like three players right now.
I was going to say, somebody told me Kentucky does not have a scholarship basketball player on the roster right now.
Some teams have one or no players. That's correct.
Incredible. This is what Blue Bloods do, John.
Again, this is the thing we're talking about is the level of depth and experience that Auburn has, and these other schools are out there still like beating the bushes, hoping the transfers come in.
Yeah, well, I'm saying we're going to walk into the SEC this coming season with this lineup, and all the other teams are going to be able to say is just,
there they are.
Yep, that's it. There they are.
What are you?
Hey, they're going to look at, they're going to say, oh, Auburn's got the best lineup? Well,
then so be it.
Yeah, so be it.
So the other thing we didn't mention last week in our big discussion of players leaving is one of our favorite guys leaving, Katie Johnson, went to George Mason, which, yep, again, Fairfax County outside D.C., happy for him. He's going to play a bunch there, get to, you know, do a bunch more, shoot more, do more stuff. And I'm genuinely happy for him, and I'll cheer for him. And when George Mason plays University of Richmond or VCU or some of these other schools around here, I may go and cheer for KD.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be much more convenient for him now to eat lunch at El Pollo Rico. I mean, I don't know how you're not there every day, honestly. Well, no, you're in Richmond, so you have to drive up a ways, don't you? You're 2 hours south of D.C. now. I forget that. But when we lived in D.C., man, El Pollo Rico, whew, that's some good stuff. That's like if Guthrie's cooked the chicken over slow roasting over a rotisserie instead of deep frying. They're both good in different ways, but, man, that place is so good. I got to get back up there. And then there's the Clemson guy we haven't talked about.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, again, a guy we're having visit who is a target to be kind of the backup small forward to Chaney Johnson.
Yeah.
A guy that came off the bench for Clemson last year, so he's not going to be unhappy in that role. Mm-hmm. He knows that's what the deal is. His job is to come in and be the, you know, kind of the 10th guy or whatever off the bench and, you know, play defense, get some rebounds, that kind of thing.
Now, he's not a done deal yet, though, but he's looking.
No. But that's a guy that we're going after, and I think we're playing musical chairs, and Auburn has limited chairs left, as we've said. So if you want to play a gazillion minutes and take all the shots, you go somewhere else. If you want to be in a team that looks pretty like a pretty good chance to win something,
mm-hmm,
you might want to come to Auburn.
I mean, we won something this past season. We want to win something even bigger. So yeah, I'm thinking so.
It's true.
All right, there's no Fantasy Formula One update as there was no race this past weekend, but they will be in Miami for the Parking Lot 500 coming up on this coming weekend, so we'll have some more movement there. I have gone
fake
in...
Fake water and, 500.
Oh, God, the fake boats and the fake water. I have gone in and updated my team just a little bit. I actually had to pay a penalty on one of the teams, but they needed a little fixing up, and I feel like they're ready to make another stretch run down the middle of the season now. I noticed we got a new book review for Auburn basketball. It's up to 10 reviews now, or 10 ratings or reviews. It's at 4.8 out of 5 stars. Can't ask for much better than that. And basically the latest review that just went up a couple of days ago said the definitive book on Auburn basketball.
I like that.
Yeah, I like it very. That's all it said. That's all you need to say. Right. So again, we're asking folks if you've got a copy of Auburn basketball or first time ever needs it. There's only 5 ratings or reviews up. 8 bajillion people bought that book and 5 people have gone on to Amazon, apparently, unless Amazon's just playing dirty and they've been known to. But heck, go on Goodreads if Amazon's not taking your review. But yeah, so 10 reviews up for Auburn basketball, 5 for first time only, and I would. First time ever, and I really feel like I'd like to see them get more than that because I want more people to know. I feel like those are books that if more people knew they existed, they would be enjoying them and getting them and stuff, but people just, it's just hard right now. I was reading this article the other day about the book industry right now, John, and our books put us in like the top 25% of books coming out of major publishers right now. It's unbelievable. Compare how those two books have done to most books. 75% of books coming out of major publishers like lose money. They're all loss leaders for like the handful of books by Oprah Winfrey or Michael Connelly, you know, or, you know, whatever, or the back catalog of Stephen King and Hunt for Red October, all that. Those are the books that make the publishers money. And so we're outselling most of what comes out. I mean, crap, my two books that were on Kickstarter had better advance orders through Kickstarter than much of what comes out of the major publishers right now. It's incredible. that is just the way to go now. Just go directly to the audience that wants your stuff. So, well, there you go. So, yeah, I do have two new books out. The Kickstarter just ended, so they're not really available right now, but they'll be available pretty soon. It's kind of like what we did with the Auburn books. They'll be along soon. So let us thank the patrons for letting us come here and do all this fun stuff with you guys every week. These are the folks who went to www.auwishbone.com. www.auwishbone.com. They clicked on the big orange button to become patrons and to help support the show. And in return, I read their names and whatever they put in their little name blank every time. Boris, you going to... What? Yes, of course. I will help out. Yes, I'm ready. All right, so here we go. We got to thank Samuel Salvatore, who always reminds us that...
Tonight's forecast... A freeze is coming.
With pearl white snow. I love it. Carl Von Drunker, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Dr. Crackham, Logan Chilton. When I heard Rule Britannia was gone, I said...
No!
I know. It's hard. I'm thinking about getting it back just because I like it now. It doesn't have to have a connection to our offensive coordinator. You know, it could just be on the soundboard. Bar, stop bumping things.
We at least need a... We need a player with a... English sounding name or something. We got to have something.
We'll see. Let's see. Ann Pridgen, Bill Weathers, Bradley Blackman, David W.D. Sammons Esquire, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Harry Zagger, Matt Flowers, Michael Kirster, Phil Amthor says. I'd like to thank Boris and John for the dramatic presentation of that.
I'm just going to say you, the audience, missed it.
You did. I know. When we do our next live video show, we'll see what happens. Let's see. Richard Stevens, starting July 12th, Wynn Carroll has a message for all the gamers on NCAA Football 24.
I am the only daddy you got. I am the damn paterfamilias.
Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, War Eagle from South Arkansas. Hey, I like North Arkansas. I'm sure South Arkansas is fine too. Willie Carden, Alex Browns, Auburn Football's Elvis, Ben Bloodworth, Bleeds Orange and Blue, Bob W.D. Sammons Esquire, a.k.a. 76 Tiger, Sleazy Shyster, and one of the many personnel from
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
To be a patron of our show. Oh, can you read this one, B? Me for president. Huh. I said you got my vote. Chad McDowell, Chris Hilton, Chris Thrash, Daniel Odom, Bobby, H-Town Danny, In-Home Hugh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Lane Middleton, Mickey B.
I'm afraid that my condition has left me cold to your pleas of mercy.
Boris just keeps reminding everybody that he's been held by Albie and we haven't. It's not fair. Every time I look at that picture, I think, why didn't I get my picture taken with Albie? You were right there. You were right there. I could have gotten my picture taken with Albie, but instead, the only one of the three of us that did...
I'm sorry, are you accusing me of, like, dropping the ball here? Is that what's happening?
No, I'm accusing me of forgetting to say, hey, John, take my picture with Oppie. But you know who didn't? You know who didn't get, who did get his picture taken with Oppie? Mm-hmm. No one fights like Gaston. Algo Rhythm and Blues. Paul Miles. Rhodesian Mudflap. Rich Reimer. Rusty Owens. NIL Bundler 4. Oh, we have even more.
Jones Barbecue Foot Massage.
We've got...
They've expanded.
They have expanded. They're in NIL now. That's pretty cool. Oh, no. Someone has ripped the fifth month out of my calendar, and I'm dismayed.
Oh.
Some of these are just tough to get through, man. Oh, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary, Wade Ward, WD Richie, Golf National Champs. Yeah, I hear you. Let me go ahead and give you this, but in a positive, celebrating way. That's right. Weagle, Weagle. Weagle is actually here for this. So Weagle, Weagle, Wardam Eagle. So Weagle appreciates that. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Winston Boddy. This is the year Peyton Thorne has improved so much under this new offense. He's focused. He's having fun. I wouldn't be surprised. By the way, to our... Oh, well, I mean, we're almost to it. Auburn Blue, Blake Caron.
Me.
For folks that don't know Boris, you can go to Twitter and go to @BorisAUTiger, one word, BorisAUTiger. That's his Twitter account. You can see him. You can see Weagle. You can see Bootsy the Fox and Neville the Peacock. That's our whole little Auburn gang that hangs out here. Brandon Smith, Charles Mooney, Corey Smyer, David D., David Simpson. I can't wait for the tournament to start. Yeah, we're no kidding. Josh Teal, Kevin Mahan, Luther and Kelly Ottaway, Mandy Thompson, Melissa Blackstone, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams points out that...
Whether you like it or not, learn to love it, because it's the best thing going today.
Woo! Yep. Philip Martin, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Walt Austin, Weagle 87, Woody the Jag. Weagle, you're all over this tonight. Woody the Jag, five-time SEC golf champions. At the Mad Reaper Pepper Company on Instagram. A few more patrons left. Alex Wynn, I love that that's one of the patrons that says that. Alex Wynn, AU Falling Up, Ben Amos, Ben Regis, Chris Como, Chris Braun, Clay Henson, and finally, Construction Tiger, CT Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Daniel Witten, Darren Pyle, David Smiley, Doug Godfrey, Elizabeth Donald. We
gotta get better at celebrating.
I am Tiger, Evil HR Director for
Jones Barbecue and Foot Massage.
And they need an evil HR director for all the people that are on there that work there that are on our Patreon.
That's one busy HR director.
He's busy. I couldn't hear you say the name of the business school. Can you say it louder? I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jim McCrory, John Otsuki, John Stubbs, Joey Miller, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains always points out, as far as the barbecue goes,
you have failed me for the last time.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. I just got to say, John, I suspect that the barbecue has not failed him for the last time.
The barbecue's never failed him.
Ah, there it is. All right. Mark Squire, MVP, the one and only host of the Sherlock Holmes podcast on the Longbox Crusade Network, our very own...
You don't have any friends.
Kathy Bright. The captivating Kathy Bright. It got covered up. New York Tiger will not let the New York Rangers break his heart again this year. Okay. Paul Bankson, Rich Hammett, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky. I am at the bottom of this list because...
God bless it!
You can, the monkey boy.
Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, Steve Bailey, the Slinko family, Tim Sauls, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now... Coming up, we have a brand new Guess the Game from Jared that's blazing hot.
Hot off the presses.
Hot off the presses. It's the ink is still wet on it, even through email. Even through email, the ink is still wet on it. And we've got listener questions and Guess the Game. But first, I do not have a worst coach of the world. So, I think we should go straight to Jared.
Oh, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family, this is Jared Albrick here with Guess the Game 122. And you might have heard the different intro music, which means we are going to basketball.
Oh, okay.
This one is sent in by Chris Braun. Chris went as far as to go ahead and make the audio clips for me. One bleeped, one unbleeped. Pretty handy. Speaking of which, let's go ahead and give it a listen.
It's been a huge difference here the last few minutes. Finding a lane, wow. Got it to go. It can't stop. 25 in the first game and 14 here in the first half. that's way off to the left. Oh, what a stayed alive, and here's.
Okay, guys, I will see you in the hint file.
All right. That was Carl Ravitch for ESPN. Okay. That was a home game in a rematch against an opponent, and he bleeped out the name, but at the background, you can hear the Auburn Arena announcers say, after that big put-back dunk, Jalen Williams!
Okay, I didn't hear that. I didn't catch that, so that's cool. Good catch.
I believe this was this year's Alabama home game where we had lost to them in Tuscaloosa and then beat them at home.
Sounds good to me. I have no clue. So,
and I think they were talking about Broome earlier, who had a good game over there and then had a strong start to the game here.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Let's hear the hint.
Here we are in the hint file with my conveniently pre-made, unbleeped file from Chris.
It's been a huge difference here the last few minutes. Broome finding a lane. Wow. Got it to go. It can't stop Broome. 25 in the first game and 14 here in the first half. Reitzel, that's way off to the left. Oh, what a... stayed alive, and here's Williams. Oh, boy!
There it is. Yeah, I hear it this time. I wouldn't have noticed that. It was so stretched out.
All right, guys, I'll see you in the answer file.
That's good. All right, I think you got it. Let's hear it. Let's tee it up.
Okay, guys, if you figured out that this is Auburn playing Alabama when we defeated the Crimson Tide just this year, 99-81. That was a good time. Oh, that Jalen Williams dunk was so sweet. Anyway, I want to thank Chris Braun for sending that in and doing a lot of the legwork. Appreciate that, Chris. If you want to be like Chris and send in a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can hit me up at X, Facebook, and Instagram. It is all at Yard Sale Artist. Or you can email me directly at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, Van, John, Warrior.
Two things. Number one, thanks to Jared for putting that together.
That was great. Thank you, Jared and Chris.
Extremely short. And Chris, yeah. Extremely short notice. And it worked out well for everybody that Chris had sent one in with the things already in it. So Jared didn't have to do a lot of work. He could just kind of package it up, put his voice over and all that. The other thing I want to note is if you're wondering, the reason why that different music means it's basketball is that Jared had a thing. I don't know if he's still doing it, but for a while there, Jared's thing was when the basketball team played, he would watch Airwolf because he found that over time he saw there was a real correlation. If he watched the game, we would lose, but if he watched Airwolf, we'd win. So he went for a while there, and I don't know if he still is. I hope he doesn't have to anymore, but he was taking the bullet for the team and not watching the game to try to help us win. So that's the Airwolf theme. That's why it's just basketball. So good for Jared.
I respect that, and I respect Jared taking one for the team, but also superstitious like the rest of us.
Exactly. That's exactly so. All right. So now.
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
And Boris.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Is this thing on?
All right. We have three questions tonight. Two about the golf team.
Wow. Okay. And three.
First question from Jim McCrory.
What about how many for me?
This is probably the best Auburn golf team in history. It just beat number two Vandy in the team in the finals.
It's pretty
also
amazing.
Our star freshman won the individual tournament. This is a team that could go all the way. This is worthy of a note in this week's AA Wishbone. Probably the lead story. Jim McCrory.
It was. So we have pleased Jim unbeknownst by having it as the top story. Good for us. We get bonus points for that.
All right, let's go to our second golf question. This from friend of the podcast, Pat Ringer, who says, is the golf team the best team on campus? Ranked number one for most of the season? just won the SEC. Mm-hmm. A freshman won the individual title. Another French freshman clinched the SEC title with a win over Gordon Sargent, who's the number two ranked amateur player in the world. In the U.S. amateur tournament, four members of this current team made it to at least the round of 32. They are really, really good. So I think that's a strong case for the golf team maybe being the best and most successful team on campus.
I think so. No, I don't think there's any question. I mean, what team would come close to that? Even historically, there's not many teams that could come close to that.
It's true. It's true. One of the more successful teams we've had at Auburn in a long time. So congrats to them. All right. Our last question is from a friend of the podcast, Josh Corbett, who says, John, Van, and Boris.
What? Yes, yes. I'm ready for my question.
This transfer period has been good to Auburn. The addition of four defensive linemen and the veteran wide receiver, this team has raised the ceiling for the 2024 season. I know we all always have high expectations, but I feel like I'm a kid on Christmas waiting for the season to start. My question to y'all this week pertains to the overall athletic performance at Auburn. Men's basketball and golf both won SEC titles this year. Equestrian won an SEC title. Our baseball and softball teams have been abysmal this year and look like they will end the season with losing SEC records. Do you think a university can dominate or be competitive in every sport they have on campus? If so, can Auburn be a university with an ultra-competitive athletic department in every sport year in and year out? War Eagle.
War Eagle. Yes, yes. No, and I don't necessarily want to be dominant in every sport every year. I don't think that's possible. I mean, isn't it like Stanford that tends to win all the Olympic-type sports every year or whatever?
It is, and there's a USA Today used to do like an all-around university rankings based on the results of every sport. And a lot of the Pac-12 schools were always up there because they did better in the Olympic sports and stuff. And I was always disappointed that Auburn wasn't higher, even when we had good swimming and diving teams and stuff. So it doesn't mean that we have to win the SEC and everything. I think that's an unrealistic expectation, but I think we can be good and everything. We'll have some down seasons here and there, but I think you said it earlier, like we're providing the people and the resources to be successful in these other, in the sports and overall in the athletic department. And I think it's not, unrealistic to want us to be competitive and be solid in every sport. It's probably not feasible, as you said, or realistic, but
we can try.
That's right.
And we can certainly do better than we've been doing on and off for the last little while. I mean, now the next thing we may need to address is baseball, because what the heck? You'll notice we haven't really talked about baseball tonight, and there's a reason for that, because they've been hurting. And I don't feel like we have a bad coach or manager or whatever. No. I mean, it's just that the circumstances and things, they've just really been in a bad, bad way.
It's true. So. And I think a good example of the rebuild thing is like the women's basketball team, where they've been down for a while, but they're on the way back up now. They hired a good coach. Again, same thing. Good, yeah. Identified and hired a good coach, gave them resources, and they're on the path back to success.
I agree. All right. Well, thanks for the questions, gang. And now we'll hop all together into the...
Smoke weed every day.
No, we're not going to do that. We're hopping in the Aubie-mobile. Yes, me and my buddy Aubie.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
Perhaps you've seen my picture with him. Yes, yes.
We hang out a lot. Boris hit that button.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I hang out with Aubie. That's true. So what's going on around the SEC other than Auburn winning the golf tournament?
I think one of the things I wanted to point out was just I put in here in the outline, the number of players selected by team, by college team in the recent NFL draft.
Okay.
And Michigan had the most players selected, as you might suspect, from a team that won the national title and was really good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
And a very experienced team. And Texas was second. Then there was a group with Alabama, Florida State, Washington, and then Georgia, Oregon, and Penn State, Notre Dame, USC, and then Clemson, LSU, Missouri, and then with five picks each, Auburn and Utah. So Auburn was like 15th overall in players picked, and what, fifth or sixth, fifth among SEC schools? That's pretty good.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that surprised me. One is that Georgia's all the way down at 8 when Michigan's at 13. I'd have thought Georgia'd be right up there. And even Georgia's even 2 below Alabama. The other thing that surprises me, well, Notre Dame, how are they got 7 NFL players and yet they never really do anything? And the other thing that surprised me, I mean, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised that Missouri had a good year out of nowhere. They had 6 NFL players drafted off their roster this year. So
they did. And they got some good players coming back. I think they're going to be solid again. So I think they're that guy's kind of state. I think this is a good indicator. I mean, I think Georgia has put out huge NFL classes the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So they were like the number one school last couple of years. And I think they had a good class this year. But also I think they have a lot of their other guys are coming back. So
yeah, well, unfortunately. But, John, I didn't like living in a world where Clemson was good. I sure don't want to live in a world where Missouri is good. No.
Well, okay. Let's parse that out. Like, Clemson competed for the national title. Missouri is going to compete for the middle of the SEC.
Yes. Yeah, and yet there they were, what, 11 wins or some nonsense?
Yeah.
That's just nuts. Seriously, halfway through last season, I kind of looked at Missouri and went, what? Because this is a team that 2 years ago wouldn't accept the win over you-know-who.
Potato.
Wouldn't accept the win, handed it back to us on a platter. And they turn around and won 11 games, whatever. What the heck? So,
maybe but it's some kind of reverse potato karma or something.
It is. All right. Here's the thing. I got a question for you. I asked this on Twitter. The other day I did a poll on Twitter and I asked this. I said, how long until we get two teams in the SEC championship game that were in the same division up until this year? Because that's going to happen, right? I mean, for a long time, the two best teams in the SEC were Tennessee and Florida. And they would have played in the SEC championship game like every year. And then for a long time, it was Alabama-LSU, right? So, you know, it's only been the last 3 or 4 years that it's been Alabama and Georgia that were in different divisions and didn't play each other because Alabama. So I was like, and people seem to think it was like, I think that the one that won I asked, is it going to happen this year? Is it going to happen in the next couple of years? Or is it going to happen in 3 or 4 more years? And I think the winner was like this year. So I'm trying to figure out what two teams people think are going to be in the SEC championship game this year. What made me think about that was Missouri's not going to be over in the East anymore, playing South Carolina and Vanderbilt and Kentucky every year. Now they're going to have to play, I don't know what their schedule is, I haven't looked at it yet, but conceivably Missouri could play a big boy schedule this year and be a little bit different from what they've been going up against. So we'll see. But how long do you think it'll be until we get two teams that are historically from the same division?
In the SEC title game are currently Georgia and Texas.
Well, I'm sorry, we dropped out for just a second, if you could repeat that.
The current favorites to be in the SEC title game this year are Georgia and Texas.
Okay, and Texas wasn't even in a division, so that shoots out the crap.
I think with your scenario, within a couple of years is reasonable. I think we could see a Georgia, Tennessee, or we could see an Alabama, LSU within a few years. I mean, let's get real. Ole Miss not going there. Missouri's not going there. A&M's not going there. It ain't happening. So,
yeah, we could see Auburn, Georgia rematch maybe, or maybe if we don't play them every year anymore, we could play
them. Yeah, but we're not in the same division with them. That doesn't answer your question.
Oh, right. Okay, so, yeah, and we play Alabama. So,
an Auburn-Alabama rematch in the SEC championship game would be insane.
Well, but a rematch. But since we're not playing LSU every year, it could be Auburn-LSU.
Yeah,
That's the most realistic to me is Auburn-LSU. If you want to put Auburn and somebody else from the same division, I think Auburn-LSU is the most realistic. But we'll see. So,
I mean, the other scenario we're going to spend a future episode talking about the playoff. But there are scenarios where teams play each other in the regular season. Teams play each other in the SEC championship game. Teams meet for a third time in the playoff.
Good grief. It could happen.
It could happen.
The way that the ball bounces and the way the cookie crumbles.
Mm-hmm.
What? There are cookies. You didn't tell me there are cookies. What cookies? Where's cookies?
2017, Auburn could have run into Georgia a third time.
Oh, man. Wow. That's true. Run them over, I wish. All right. Well, I think that's the end. Any final thoughts as we wrap up for tonight?
Enjoy spring, unless you have allergies.
I'm on Zyrtec now, so I'll be falling asleep very shortly. Boris, any final thoughts?
Borigo.
Very, very profound. All right, our time is up. We thank you for your Borigo, John.
Borigo, Van.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.